You're listening to the Gym Class Podcast, KGYM Sports Radio.
Well, welcome everyone to a Tuesday edition of the Gym Class. Great to be back with you as we begin another week on a Tuesday. And we've been off since the NCAA tournament began. So much to unpack from the men's tournament and also the women going on right now. But such an interesting weekend, and we'll dive into that and visit with Mike Loss, because that's sports columnist towards the bottom of the hour. Mike was in Indianapolis to witness Iowa's two games in the NCAA men's basketball tournament. We'll visit with Mike about that. 52 degrees and light rain, maybe a little overcast in portions of eastern Iowa, but we will be with you, local programming, the next 3 hours to talk about many, many items. After us, of course, the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn coming up from 4 to 6. My name is Mark Dukes. I am at my residence, as I have been the past few months, via Skype, doing a show. Back in the studio, making things happen is Buttons and Scott Unash on his last day of a very short vacation. He will be back with us tomorrow. And greetings, Buttons. How are you?
I'm good. I had a great break. I, you know, grew up my mustache, took my dog for a walk, cleaned the house, you know, all that fun stuff.
Nice. Speaking of your dog, happy National Puppy Day.
Well, I will tell her that.
Yeah, well, unfortunately, we lost our dogs a short time ago, but we were introduced to your little girl when all of us were back in the studio, actually. You brought her in when you got her, and now she's grown into quite a young girl, huh?
Oh, yeah. No, she is a handful right now. She got fixed on Friday. So that's why I took Friday off. I was planning to be gone Wednesday, Thursday, but, you know, she needed that done. So she is relaxing at home, and I am back here and excited for the day.
Dog responsibilities. You got to love it, huh?
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, anybody has a puppy out there, happy National Puppy Day. They are man and woman's best friend. We want to certainly dive into the NCAA men's basketball tournament. And the women. We want to update you quickly. The Iowa women in action, the fifth seed in the regional, the Riverwalk region in San Antonio. The Hawkeyes off to a blazing start over number 4 seed Kentucky. The Hawkeyes have just taken a 34-13 lead with 6 minutes left in the second quarter. And Iowa playing extremely well, obviously, and getting contributions from many, including star Caitlin Clark. Just an incredible performance so far by the Iowa women. And congratulations to the Iowa State women with a 4-point win over Michigan State yesterday in its NCAA tournament game. Ashley Jones, the star out of Iowa City, with 33 points. The Cyclones will play Texas A&M, the number 2 seed, tomorrow, 6 p.m. And you can hear it right here on 1600 and 102.5 FM. Before we get into the NCAA men's basketball tournament, certainly would be remiss to not acknowledge the Iowa wrestling team, which is back on the number 1 perch. National champions, 7 All-Americans. Spencer Lee with an incredible story, winning a national championship on 2 bad ACLs. Congratulations to the Iowa wrestling team. And by the way, we will get into much more of this. Really a big treat for you on tomorrow's show. Not only will we have Mark Ironside, but we have lined up Tom Brands, the Iowa head wrestling coach. That segment will air at 3:15 tomorrow. So certainly make plans for that. Certainly a lot of discussion yesterday and today about the Iowa men's basketball team, rightfully so. The Hawkeyes are done. I mean, we knew when we got into this NCAA tournament, it would be crazy. It would be maddening and possibly saddening. And that's what it was for the Iowa men's basketball team. 319-366-1600, your chance to weigh in with us today. 95-80 loss to the Oregon Ducks. Iowa outplayed in many respects. Three-point shooting defense allowed almost a record, if not a record, number of dunks by the Ducks. And I don't think it takes a genius to figure out that Iowa's defense was just not very good. And it was a poor matchup for Iowa in many respects. A very quick, not a tall Oregon team, but a long team that caused so many problems. And Iowa bows out after winning a game against Grand Canyon, a pretty good Grand Canyon team in that first round. Iowa looked good, but in this one, it just wasn't meant to be. I don't know if you had any impressions, Buttons.
Yeah, you know, especially this year, the seeding doesn't matter. Have you noticed that too?
To a large extent.
Yeah.
I mean, Iowa, number two seed. If you look at the Sweet 16, as wacky as it was, you still have three number one seeds left in Gonzaga, Baylor, and Michigan, and two number twos in Houston and Alabama. But you also have three, four, five, six, seven, eight, two 11 seeds, a 12, and a 15. I'm fond of saying there is talent all over this country, and it was proven when we didn't pay attention to the Pac-12. The Pac-12 has a quarter of the Sweet 16 with Oregon, UCLA, Oregon State, and USC all moving on in the tournament. And I, for one, Buttons, I'm not a particularly late owl. I don't stay up and watch Pac-12 basketball like some people do. I was aware of some of the teams, but we tend to have at least in the Midwest, a parochial viewpoint, I think, in terms of whether it's the Big Ten, the Big 12, the Missouri Valley. And a lot of folks saying today that the Big Ten was overrated. Perhaps that's the case. It's certainly underachieving and disappointing in this NCAA tournament, with 8 out of 9 teams now gone after the first two rounds. It's very surprising to me. But if you look at some of these teams, like I said, there's talent all over this land, and a lot of people didn't realize that, and it came to bear at the Big Ten's expense, Buttons.
Yeah, it really did. And you know, I'm like you. I don't stay up late and watch those Pac games. But just taking a dive into the Iowa game, I believe who was on the text line? It was 9663. Do you think we were overrated all year? That's hard to say. We had a phenomenal year. I don't think the team should ever doubt themselves that they could have had a better year. There are some spots throughout the season that, you know, we could have done better, but at the end of the day, it was a solid team, and I don't think we were overrated.
Well, it started out number four in the country, and it ended in the final poll number four in the country, and I guess not just us in Iowa might think Iowa's overrated. I mean, it played to its ranking throughout the year. There were many, many highs. It beat a North Carolina team that got into the tournament. Of course, played that December game against Gonzaga, which looks unbeatable to me. I think Iowa lost by 11 in that game, but played fairly well. Just some matchups are bad, and yesterday's matchup against Oregon was definitely a bad matchup. Now, you can't count on even though Oregon was one of the nation's top three-point shooting teams, I mean, it seemed like it made everything for a while. It made 11 in the game, but it was just daggers in that regard. And then in transition defense, Iowa couldn't keep up and gave up 9 or 10 dunks, the highest percentage shot that you can ever take. It just all added up to a very disheartening outcome for the Iowa Hawkeyes. Was Iowa overrated? I'm not here to say. I mean, some 60 sports writers and as many coaches make these rankings. And I don't think they thought that I was one of the top 5 or 10 teams in the country. Again, you just come up with, you have a bad game, you have a bad matchup, and your season's over. A lot of folks wanting to blame Fran McCaffrey today, pointing to the fact that he got an extension before this whole thing got started. I think Fran realized that he wasn't getting any offense out of Jordan Bohannon and C.J. Frederick in that game, and substituted with Toussaint and Perkins and Murray and others. Iowa had a better defensive unit on the floor when that happened. Bohannon got locked down. We learned later that Connor McCaffrey was playing on injuries that he's going to have two surgeries for after the season. And C.J. Frederick, his injury issues cropped up again. He wasn't feeling the best. You add all that up, Jack Nungy got sidelined for the year. Some unforeseen circumstances that other teams go through. But for Iowa, it was just a bad set of circumstances in that regard. 319-366-1600. 1156 on the text line. Never has the need for nor a dearth of athletic players who can score been more clear than yesterday. Three starters were combined 0 for 8 with 3 turnovers. That is a fact. 52-68. You can't beat a team when 3 out of the 5 starters don't score a point. And that's coming from Dave. Listen, Jordan Bohannon had a remarkable career at Iowa, but that was not his type of game.
No,
and
not
by
one
that
bit.
By that I mean he was locked down by Oregon's defenders. He has a tough time creating, dribble drives. But you can't deny the career that Jordan Bohannon had at the University of Iowa. Yesterday is not the way he wanted to go out. That's for darn sure. And as far as Frederick goes, we learned that his injury had flared up. He was not a factor. Connor McCaffrey is never much of a offensive factor anyway. Those are the three starters that the texters refer to. Yeah, I agree. But the bench did come through in some respects, although Toussaint had 4 turnovers. He gave Iowa a better defensive presence, as did Perkins. Perkins is a young guy who's going to get better and better. There's a lot of young guys on the floor for Iowa at any given time, with Patrick McCaffrey out there and Perkins and whatnot. Iowa just could not win with one Luka Garza, and we'll get to Luka in a minute here. And in underscoring my point about there's talent all over this country, there are 10 leagues represented in the Sweet 16. One team each from the Big 10 and Big 12. We mentioned 4 from the Pac-12, but you also have the Missouri Valley, Sister Teresa, going to the Sweet 16, and with a really good chance to go to the Elite 8 against Oregon State, the American Athletic with Houston, the West Coast, of course, with Gonzaga, the Summit League with 15 seed Oral Roberts. It's not the first time this has happened in the NCAA tournament, but it was underscored again yesterday, I think. And it makes for a lot of fun for people who don't have any allegiance, but it makes it heartbreaking for those at Illinois, at Iowa, at Ohio State, et cetera, buttons.
Yeah, it really does. And, you know, we haven't been on the air since that Illinois game, have we?
I believe you're right about that.
So let's talk about that really quick. That one really caught my eye when eighth-seeded Loyola took down Illinois.
Not only took them down, but dominated them.
Yeah, 71-58. I had, in my bracket, I had Illinois going all the way, matching up against Gonzaga.
I think you were not alone in many regards, but I said before the tournament, I did not trust this Illinois team. And I had it losing a round later against Oklahoma State. It happened early. It was an early exit for Illinois. It's head-scratching because Illinois played so well down the stretch. That Loyola team was extremely motivated and played very, very well, and Illinois didn't. There you have it. And in terms of, go ahead.
And you talk about Oklahoma State. They were down by 12th-seeded Oregon State.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm sitting on my couch wondering what's happening this year.
Well, if you've been, I've been around for any length of time as I have been, you know what happens every year. But it, as far as the Big Ten goes, and maybe the Big 12 as well, it just it hasn't been more disappointing than it has been this year. By the way, our KGYM Bracket Challenge, brought to you by Imon Communications, is obviously underway. More than 350 entries. And Todd Brommelkamp created this group. And you can find results, up-to-the-minute results, right now at KGYMradio.com. Someone is going to win $500 should he or she win this challenge. And it's a daunting task because of so many entries. But right now, Passion Bucket for Life is a really happy person because that team is in the number one position, albeit by a narrow margin. Passion Bucket for Life is in the lead right now. That entry has Baylor winning it all. Many have Gonzaga. Many, like you, Buttons, had Illinois. And their championship team is gone. I would say, just looking at it really briefly, that the majority had Gonzaga. I see a Houston in there, a few Baylors. But those that had Illinois are probably not going to be in contention for the $500. But we do want to thank Imon Communications for its sponsorship and a chance to win $500 for someone. You can view those results at KGYMradio.com. Those will be updated, I believe, after every round. So follow along closely there, see how you rank. And, boy, that would be something for someone to prevail over 350 people.
It'd be even more amazing if it was just a clean bracket.
Well, Passing Bucket for Life at Oral Roberts going to the Sweet 16. How about that?
That's there has to be a reason why, unless you're just picking names out of a bucket.
Passion Bucket? Okay.
That was good. That was good.
I want to get back to Iowa for a minute and acknowledge not only one career of Jordan Bohannon, but certainly one career of Luka Garza. It was a very emotional exit to the game. At the end, I wasn't surprised to see that. It was really interesting to see Oregon coach Dana Altman and the Oregon fans acknowledge Luka's career. And not only that, if you paid any attention on Twitter, the plaudits came from so many different places. Iowa wrestlers Spencer Lee and Alex Marinelli offering their congratulations. Iowa State Athletic Director Jamie Pollard with a very nice note about Luca Garza. Fellow Big Ten players, NFL players from Iowa, Christian Kirksey and Desmond King. So many congratulatory messages for Luca Garza, except from Jake Gervais, the former Iowa football player, who really had a really asinine tweet that has since been taken down. Doesn't deserve much more comment than that. But my point is, by and large, it came from all corners, I think, in terms of people acknowledging Luca Garza's tremendous accomplishments. And in the years I've been watching Iowa basketball, which is 50 years, a little bit more than that, but I can only remember one kind of widespread reaction to something in regards to Iowa basketball, and it was a totally different circumstance, and that was Chris Street's untimely death, leaving a hotel in Iowa City on a stormy night. Those reactions came from all kinds of Big Ten and NCAA coaches and whatnot, but I was just struck, Buttons, with the number and the variety of comments directed towards Luca Garza.
And it was well-deserved. He had an amazing career at Iowa. He's probably going to be somewhere in the NBA or out in Europe somewhere, but he had an amazing career, and he did a lot for the school.
He's a tremendous representative of the university. He never ducked a question. Now, I'm not a member of the media that covers the team right now, but I certainly follow it close enough to realize and see that he never ducked a question. He was always complimentary of his teammates and took responsibility for things and some things that he was really not responsible for. He was just a tremendous player, a tremendous representative of the university, and he will not be forgotten anytime soon. I think his character and the way he played and where he came from and where he ended up is the reason that folks were so appreciative of what he did. Couple texts to get you, 3148. Mark, what's your thoughts on Wheezy and CJ coming back? I think Frederick is a given. Wieskamp, he addressed that and said he was going to address it down the road. My personal feelings is that he's not an NBA player, especially on the defensive end. He's close. Whether he comes back or not, we're going to find out, in short order, I think. 3069, let us not forget Iowa played the game 2 days prior when they, where they looked rather well, and Oregon didn't play at all. I suppose you could look at that two different ways, that Oregon might have been a little rusty, but maybe Iowa's legs were tired, maybe Oregon's were fresh. I don't know. Finally, before we get to Michael Loss, 5731, if you shoot the ball better, you cut down on the fast break dunks. Those losses, besides poor defense that always shows up, and I don't think CJ has ever been healthy all year. Buttons, let's take a break here and give you time to get Michael Loss on the phone and visit more about Iowa basketball right after this.
At American Family Insurance, we know it takes many moving parts to make your house a home, and we're here to protect them all. With our innovative and comprehensive coverage options, we can build you a straightforward policy that truly protects what matters most, so you can stay focused and dreaming towards what's next. Ready to get the coverage you deserve?
See Kurt Gustafson at Kurt Gustafson Agency, your American Star Certified Agency. Excellence in customer experience.
Yes, I'm a dreamer.
American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
1600 ESPN Radio is testing its emergency alert system equipment.
This has been a test of the emergency alert system.
It's tournament time, and with so many games going on, who wants to bet just one? That's why betting parlays on FanDuel Sportsbook is the way to go. It's a great way to combine bets from different games for an even bigger win. And guess what? FanDuel is here to help you if your parlay doesn't go as planned. They'll give you up to $25 back in site credit if your parlay of three legs or more falls one leg short. That's one parlay per day each day of the tournament for new and existing users. You can bet on first half money lines, first half spreads, second half money lines, second half spreads. The possibilities are endless. That's why FanDuel is America's number one sportsbook app. They're always hooking us up with an easy-to-use app, many different betting options, and exclusive always-on promotions. So just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app and sign up with promo code KUHN so they know I sent you. That's FanDuel Sportsbook, promo code KUHN. Must be 21 plus and present in Iowa. Refund issued is non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 7 days. Max refund $25. Terms apply. See sportsbook.fanduel.com for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-BETS-OFF.
Dutch Boy's new Platinum Plus paint with Stain Shield technology has the performance you expect from a luxury paint at a price you didn't. Platinum Plus is up to 50% more washable and stain resistant than a leading premium paint in satin sheen. Superiority ranges from 24 to 50% depending on sheen selected. Platinum Plus keeps your walls looking new longer. Menards and Dutch Boy paint have you covered. Go ahead, live your life.
Get 11% off everything now at Menards. Savings are a mail-in rebate. See store for details.
Being in the Army National Guard is about more than serving your country. It's about being there for your community when your neighbors need you most. The Army National Guard makes college affordable, and serving part-time can help you graduate debt-free. Do you want to stay close to friends and family? The Guard allows you to serve close to home. Serving part-time in the Army National Guard lets you have the life you want. Learn more by visiting NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the Iowa Army National Guard. Aired by the Iowa Broadcasters Association and this station.
Tune into the gym every weekday at 5 o'clock with Todd Brommelkamp and Alex Kuhn for Drive Time, driven by Lender Tire.
Welcome back to the gym class on this Tuesday afternoon. Mark Dukes alongside Buttons today. Scott Unash will rejoin us on tomorrow's edition of the show. Also a reminder that if you're planning your wedding, it may look a little different this year, but one thing that remains the same is adding the special touches to your beautiful day. Let our sister station Z102.9 wedding show be the start of your beautiful future. It's all free at weddingdayia.com. Go ahead and check it out. An update from the NCAA Women's Basketball Tournament. The Iowa Hawkeyes still cruising. 9 minutes left in the third quarter. The Hawkeyes with a 49-24 lead. Caitlin Clark with 26 points to this point. Right now, we would like to welcome in our friend Michael Oss, Gazette sports columnist, fresh off the road, another trip to Indianapolis. And greetings to you, Mike, today.
Yeah, now it's 51-24, and Caitlin Clark still got more points than Kentucky does.
Isn't that something? She's really quite a story.
I know. It's remarkable. And Iowa has used 8 players today, and none of them are seniors.
I didn't realize that. That bodes well. And by the way, the reward probably is going to be UConn should Iowa win this game.
Well, it's the Sweet 16, and not everybody gets there.
Exactly. Certainly the Iowa men didn't get there, Mike, as you well know. We want to get into what happened in Indianapolis after a a victory over Grand Canyon, a pretty good Grand Canyon team. Iowa played well in that game, but then just ran into maybe a bad matchup. What did you see yesterday in Iowa's 15-point loss?
There was no maybe about it. It was a bad matchup. It was poison for Iowa. I mean, you watch the game and you really don't need any analysis. You know what the problem was. It was Oregon was, you know, beat them with athleticism, beat them with shooting, yeah, but just shredded their defense all game long. And you knew that was the way Iowa was going to go out. You just didn't know how soon. And when I saw Oregon in the second round, and I know this is going to sound like hindsight, but I thought that's a problem because I watch a lot of Pac-12 basketball, and Oregon's a good team. Oregon won the Pac-12 title.
Mm-hmm.
Chris Duarte's sensational, and the starting five on that team are terrific, and they've got one of the best coaches in the country, etc. And Iowa's guards couldn't do anything with them. Absolutely nothing. So it's not real complicated.
Well, in terms of the defense, is it schemes? Is it players? Is it just one bad
it's
matchup?
It's athleticism. You know, I mean, you saw what happened when they played Gonzaga.
Mm-hmm.
You saw what happened to an extent when they played Illinois, to a great extent, really. And then you saw what happened yesterday. And had Iowa gotten a better team in yesterday for their style, and then they would have played USC in the next round, I think they would have been in trouble in that game.
Mm-hmm.
And they I mean, look, when you saw that Iowa was in the same bracket as Gonzaga, I don't know who thought Final Four. But a second-round elimination is a bust, and it's, there's no two ways around it.
Well, at the top of the show, Mike, I made the point that I think people in the Midwest, you're an outlier because you do watch Pac-12 basketball, but we tend to take such a parochial view of things and focus in on the Big Ten or the Big 12, the Missouri Valley, and don't look outside our boundaries, so to speak. And I'm going to get tired of saying this, but there's so many great players all around the country, and it's represented by 10 teams or 10 leagues represented in a Sweet 16. So,
yeah. Well, of course, you're right.
I'm guilty of it.
Well, I am too. But you know, we get here's what happens. The Big Ten's a powerful conference. It's in population centers. It's got its own TV network. It's got these massive institutions. It's got the power of the media behind it. It's got all sorts of things behind it. Mythology, you name it. But what it doesn't have are the accomplishments to go with it. In men's basketball, the conference hasn't had a national champion since the year 2000. You look at NBA lotteries. The Big Ten players are few and far between compared to those from the SEC and the ACC, and even the Big 12 some years. I know what I think people in the Midwest and in the East turn their nose up at the Pac-12. The Pac-12 has those late games, so people don't really get to see a lot of it. And then, you know, you've got Bill Walton doing the color commentary on those games. So to a lot of people, Pac-12 basketball is this zany sideshow. The truth is, it's got superb teams. USC is a national championship contender. Oregon is an excellent team. Oregon State is an excellent team. UCLA's got Mick Cronin coaching them. They're a hard-nosed defensive team. There's no Evan Mobley in the Big Ten. Kofi Coburn is really good. Evan Mobley is more. I don't think there's a Chris Duarte in the Big Ten. Io DeSumo is really, really good. I think Duarte's every bit as good. And so it's an uneducated really college basketball audience nationwide. And part of that is it's just the whole Pac-12 thing. When their games are on at 9 o'clock at night, people aren't going to watch them, etc. But I also think that it's a cultural thing, that we just believe that the Big Ten is the best. And the coaches keep telling us all year long, and the experts keep telling us all year long. And yeah, the reason, I mean, they beat each other up. Well, yeah, but what happened when Iowa played Gonzaga? It was one-sided. What happened when Illinois played Baylor? It was one-sided for Baylor. It's just, I mean, don't get me wrong, the Big Ten had a lot of good teams, and it was the best conference in the nation. But it's got 14 members, and everything is set up for Big Ten to succeed, and yet Loyola Chicago, North Texas, you know, Oral Roberts, they all take out Big Ten teams. That's got to tell you something.
Yeah, and the big question remains why. I mean, there was two Big Ten teams seeded number one, two seeded number two, and maybe the net needs to be thrown out. I don't know. The question remains why, and I don't have an answer.
Well,
eight out of nine teams lost.
There's a certain amount of arrogance. We just assume that a North Texas or an Oral Roberts couldn't beat a good Big Ten team, but why? I mean, like you said, there are good players everywhere. These are teams that come in as conference champions. To win a conference championship in any league, you have to be tough and good, especially because it takes winning those conference tournaments where you sometimes have to win three games in 3 days. And that's the survival of the fittest. And I mean, Oral Roberts has got the leading scorer in the country. You see that Loyola team, there's nobody that's as disciplined and well-coached as they are, and they've got good players. They've got a pedigree. They've been to a Final Four. You know, how many Big Ten teams haven't been in a Final Four in a long time? You know, even Gonzaga. People are skeptical of Gonzaga. Well, they've never won at all. Yeah, I know. They've only got the best team in the country.
Talking with Gazette sports columnist Michael Oss today on the Tuesday edition of the Gym Class. Always a pleasure to have Mike along with us.
Here's Mark, that Oregon team, no player in their rotation yesterday. The closest to home that any of those players are from Oregon was the state of Michigan.
Wow.
Oregon's not getting it done with. Let's get a bunch of Oregon guys and let's try and win ourselves a championship. They're recruiting the world. And kind of makes a difference.
I want to talk about Luka Garza for a minute, Mike. And I spent some time earlier before we brought you on, and all the messages he got via Twitter from all walks of life, wrestlers, football players, fellow athletic directors, on and on and on, fellow Big Ten players. And I made the point that I didn't remember an Iowa basketball player getting that much acknowledgement since Chris Street perished. And that was certainly a different set of circumstances, but I was really struck by the outpouring for Luka Garza.
Yeah, I think it's the popular expression that game recognizes game. You know, there wasn't competitors appreciate the competitive spirit in other people. And as he said yesterday, he came to Iowa as the number 100 recruit in the country. Wasn't highly recruited. Fran McCaffrey got lucky in some ways because he first saw Garza at an AAU tournament because his son was playing there. It wasn't a recruiting trip. It was to watch his son. So he saw Garza early, and to Fran McCaffrey's eternal credit, he envisioned things for him. He envisioned the same things in Luka that I think Luka envisioned in himself. And so they got in on him early. They landed him. And, you know, the rest is history. They put him in a position to succeed, and he did the rest. And what he made of himself and continues to make of himself is storybook stuff, sports-wise. It was the kind of deal where whoever it was that was talking about him, as you alluded to, but whatever commentator, whatever writer, couldn't deny the spirit and the passion and the tireless work ethic that the guy has. And without a mean bone in his body or just the kind of guy who you couldn't help but like, you'd have to be an ogre not to like him. So that what that makes is for a special human story, well above just being a great basketball story.
Well, you need to know is Spencer Lee. They're very good friends, apparently. This guy wins a national title on two bad legs, and he's acknowledging Luka's career.
Yeah, and Luka did likewise to Spencer on Sunday.
Yeah.
And again, you know, game recognizes game. And the University of Iowa, I'm not making an original point here, but to have Garza, Caitlin Clark, and Spencer Lee on the same campus the same winter is an embarrassment of riches.
Well, and the next question, well, before I get to that question, I wanted to ask you about Joe Wieskamp, who had a nice year. And the question he was asked, perhaps by you, whether he plans to be back next season, and he deferred that announcement anyway, if not a decision, to a little bit later. Your thoughts on his possible return?
I'd say it's unlikely. I mean, as we've seen, we see it about every year, things change and change again between the end of the season and, you know, the deadline for college players to stay in the NBA draft. But I think he's ready to go and play pro ball somewhere, somehow. And unless a strange set of circumstances happen, not necessarily strange, but I think he's ready to go. And look, I mean, there may be people out there hearing that who's saying that he's foolish to, but being a junior in college is old in pro basketball land. A year is, you know, it's a hard thing to give up when there are earning possibilities. Careers are not that long. And I hate to see him go because he's a really fine player, second team all Big Ten. But this is what happened.
Talking with Michael Loss, Gazette sports columnist, on today's Gym Class. Let's talk about this season. And, Mike, honestly, I have not had enough time, I guess, to digest the question I'm going to ask you is how you would characterize this season.
A mixed bag. I think that they did a lot of memorable things. Early in the season, they romped over North Carolina. They beat Wisconsin three times. Wisconsin's an NCAA tournament team. Wisconsin won an NCAA tournament game. They went to Wisconsin and won handily. They went to Michigan State and won by 30 points. They beat Michigan State twice in the same season. And when's the last time that happened? They went 14-6 in the Big Ten. Their best winning percentage in that conference in 34 years. They got a number two seed in the NCAA tournament. But the first time they'd done that in 34 years. A lot of good stuff. On top of Garza's going to be the National Player of the Year, the first time Iowa's ever had one. A lot of good stuff. But at the beginning of this year, the talk was of competing for a Big Ten title and a deep NCAA tournament run. And they didn't do either one. And, you know, they got no further in the tournament than the last three Iowa teams that were in the NCAAs. They ended by getting a one-sided loss in the second round. And here we are now, with a, still a lot of NCAA tournament left, and Iowa season's over.
Well, the next question is, it's kind of hard to answer because we don't know about Wieskamp and some other things, but where does Iowa go from here? And listening to your comments about Oregon's recruitment, I almost got the sense that Iowa needs to look broaden its scope in terms of recruiting.
Well,
I mean, Garza's from D.C., and you've got other players. You got that player from England and whatnot. Who knows how he'll pan out. But
yeah,
where does Iowa go from here?
Well, look, Fran McCaffrey's going to do things the way that he does them. And you know, it's worked for him to a degree, but they haven't been in a championship hunt in the Big Ten, and they haven't been in any sort of NCAA championship hunt that's realistic. But we talk about Oregon. Oregon in 2018, according to one of these recruiting services, said that Oregon had the third best class in the nation. In 2019, had the fourth best class in the nation. Nothing changes in college sports. You have to recruit the hell out of high school ranks, and you know, those who can, the Kentuckys and Dukes, do it every year, are consistent elite programs. And Iowa is like, you know, to me, like Lake Wobegon, both in football and men's basketball. It's above average, but it ain't elite.
Well, that's a good point. And as disappointed as Iowa fans may be today, and there are many that are, all you have to do is look a couple hours west. And that's a reminder that how quickly things can unravel. Steve Prohm is gone. T.J. Otzelberger is in. Three players on the current team have entered the transfer portal. Iowa State has lost a recruit. Otzelberger's entering a tough situation there, is he not, Mike?
Yeah, he is, but I'll tell you what, it's a good hire. It's a great hire. Players love playing for Otzelberger. They just love him. He had a whole lot to do with every good player Fred Hoiberg brought into Ames.
Yes.
And he showed that he's got some head coaching chops. The thing at UNLV was just underway, but before that, he had won. He has it. He simply has it, and it's not going to happen overnight, but it'll happen. And I'll say this, in a couple, 3 years, they're going to be right back on a level playing field with the Big 12.
Right along with Patrick McCaffrey is going to be a star. You said it here on this program.
Well, he might have, outside of Garza, he might have been their best player yesterday.
Yeah.
But no, and that's a good, but you're right, things change. But I mean, it's a, college basketball is a delicate ecosystem. But I mean, Iowa is right between Creighton and Loyola. Omaha and Chicago, those two teams are still playing. You can get there from anywhere. You can get there from anywhere. And that Iowa hasn't been to a Sweet 16 since 1999 is almost impossible. And yet, is it going to change? I don't know.
Final question, Mike. Is there a team in the field remaining that can give Gonzaga a run for its money?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. USC can. Baylor can. Maybe Alabama. I don't know how the brackets shape up, but I'll tell you, if Michigan had Isaiah Livers, I wouldn't be counting them out. Florida State, with the kind of defense it plays, I don't rule them out against anybody. So, absolutely. Absolutely. Gonzaga to me is the way to bet, but if you gave me the field against Gonzaga, I think that might be a 50-50.
And I
it's
have
a single game elimination
game
tournament.
My lousy bracket.
Yeah. Yeah, well.
Tells you everything right there.
Yeah.
Better let you go, but look forward to the next time we can visit, and so appreciate your appearances and insight on the show, right?
Yeah. Oh, I'm going to go into hibernation now, so, you know, enjoy the spring and summer, man.
Well deserved. Thanks, Mike. Appreciate it.
Okay.
Michael Osk, is that sports columnist, joining us on the Gym Class, and really a lot of good stuff there. And yeah, Todd Bromelkamp, that was a Garrison Keillor reference. Lake Wobegon, I think Mike talked about. Buns, let's take our final break, and when we come back, we'll put a wrap on this edition of the Gym Class, okay?
The action never stops at BetMGM. Hoops and hockey are hot, and baseball is right around the corner. So it couldn't be a better time to take a shot at an easy 100 from the king of sportsbooks. Sign up today using code HANSEN100 and win $100 in free bets when you place a $1 moneyline wager on the Lakers versus Pelicans game. And if either team hits a three, you win. No matter what your favorite sport is, it's always showtime at BetMGM. Get in on the fun with innovative parlay selection builders, daily promotions, boosted odds specials, and much more. Download the app or go to BetMGM.com and use code HANSEN100 to win $100 in free bets when you wager $1 on the Lakers or Pelicans to hit a three. Bet with confidence and turn game days into paydays at BetMGM. New customer offer, paid in free bets. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 years or older, Iowa only. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-BETS-OFF.
Progressive Motorcycle presents Road Wisdom from the Motor.
Half man, half motorcycle.
You never really stop riding in your mind.
Never.
Unless you're thinking of something else.
Like other thoughts.
Progressive Motorcycle also presents Roadside Assistance. Progressive Motorcycle for those who were born to ride. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates.
Dell's semi-annual sale is the perfect opportunity for a significant business upgrade. Save up to 45% on Dell computers built for business and powered by Intel Core processors. Plus, enjoy special pricing on Dell docks, monitors, servers, and more, all with easy financing options through Dell Financial Services. Speak to a Dell Technologies advisor today to find the right tech for your business with fast, free shipping. Call 877-ASK-DELL. Again, that's 877-ASK-DELL.
Welcome back to the final few minutes of the Gym Class today on this Tuesday. Mark Dukes and Buttons with you today. Scott Unash will return to his captain seat tomorrow for Wednesday show. Following us, please stay tuned for the Todd Bromelkamp show with Alex Kuhn. Both the guys will have terrific insight into the NCAA tournament, and hopefully you'll stay tuned for that. By the way, every weekday at 5 p.m., tune in to KGYM's Drive Time, driven by Linder Tire Service, with three locations in Iowa City, North Liberty, and Grinnell. You can drop in for service, but appointments are recommended and easy to make at lindertire.com. Great stuff going on in the NCAA women's basketball tournament right now if you're an Iowa Hawkeye fan. Entering the fourth quarter, the Iowa Hawkeyes, fifth-seeded, lead fourth-seeded Kentucky 70-46. That's right, 70-46. Caitlin Clark, the freshman from Iowa, second-team All-America, 31 points. Not sure how much we'll see here in the fourth quarter, but I don't think Lisa Bluter will let the pedal off the metal, so to speak, coming down the stretch here. With a terrific performance by the Iowa Hawkeyes today so far. I know Todd and Alex will keep you updated on the final as that comes to happen. Appreciate Michael Oss's appearance. Not sure when we'll visit with him next, and he'll get a well-deserved respite from the Iowa men's basketball beat and kind of recharge. By the way, Iowa spring football practice begins in just six short days. and Iowa has announced a media availability schedule. The two new assistant coaches will be available early on by Zoom, of course. But that coming up right around the corner here as we head in to the last parts of March and into April. As mentioned earlier, a real treat for you tomorrow, our regular Wednesday segment with Mark Ironside on wrestling as we salute the Iowa national champions. But Mark has graciously arranged to have head coach Tom Brands join us. So it's going to be a four-way discussion with myself, Scott Unash, Mark Ironside, and Tom Brands on tomorrow's edition of the Gym Class. That will start at 3:15. The show, of course, starts at 3:15 for that segment. Buttons, thanks very much. Appreciate it.
Anytime.
All right, we'll see you tomorrow. Talk to you tomorrow on the Gym Class.
Progressive Motorcycle presents Road Wisdom from the Motor.